Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
It's going down right here.
Fantasy Sports Today. Firing it up. You might be fired up. You just heard the end of that last show. Lots of screaming about Austin Hooper. I'm not going to start a show like that. 170th ranked player in fantasy football. But I'm excited to be here. Dane and I. Fantasy Sports Today, thanks for listening on the Fantasy Sports Radio app, on TuneIn, on iHeartRadio, a variety of terrestrial radio stations across the country. Thank you very much. So, look, every morning we're here. It's going to be a sprint. We're going to get you up to date on some of the news and notes and exactly the players you should be thinking about. And a guy there was really some pretty major news on in the last 48 hours that we didn't get a chance to talk about yesterday is Adrian Peterson. And Adrian Peterson is obviously now signed in Washington. Effectively replacing Darius Geis. Now, clearly, I don't think it's going to be a straight replacement of Geis with Peterson, but we saw some flashes last year. The consistency wasn't there from Peterson, but he's 33, he's not 43, and he appears to have a little bit of gas left in the tank. Certainly Washington and Jay Gruden think so. So, Dane, first of all, good morning.
Good morning.
And what is your sense now of how this plays out? My concern is that when without Geis there last year, those touches were split all the way. Like it was a straight red share, straight committee share, target share, market share, whatever you want to call it, between P. Ryan and Thompson and Kelly. Now, I have Rob Kelly that I could keep in a league, but I'm not going to do it just because I think if he gets a third of Washington's carries, he isn't worth all that much.
Yeah, I agree. You know, the thing is, just we can take it even outside of Washington. Generally speaking, you're looking for backs that have, you know, less competition, right? We talk about how there's the bell cows. We talk about how then there's the timeshares. Then we talk about how there's the full-on committee, right? When you have the more names you have, the more cloudy the picture becomes, the more of a committee it is, a la New England, right? So when you add Peterson to the mix, I don't think he is at the point of his career where he's going to be this kind of lead dog. So now all that means is that the pie is split four ways instead of three. Right. You know, so I'm against all of them with the lone exception of maybe Chris Thompson in PPR formats because we saw him in that role do very, very well at the beginning of last year. But then when they tried to give him more of the load, he broke down and got hurt as well. So I think the only good news for this could be that at least they get to preserve Chris Thompson in that more kind of dynamic, explosive PPR role, which does seem to be more fitting for him. But outside of that, their regular kind of early down backs, I'm staying away from all three. I will not have shares of Peterson or Kelly or P. Ryan, to be quite honest. Because here's the other thing. It's not like this is the a high-flying offense, you know, that there's production to go around for everybody. So I'm staying away from this committee, maybe with the exception of Thompson in PPR format.
And I got to be honest, I wasn't one of the guys that was higher on Geis. I understand that there's always value in a guy that seems like, whether he's a rookie or a veteran player, that seems like he's going to get a significant amount of touches. At the end of the day, the single most important thing in fantasy football is opportunity. You want touches, and Geis was going to get a whole lot of them. But I didn't think they were going to be a terribly efficient rushing offense, and I was looking at other guys in that range that I liked a little bit more. Conversation's moot now, but you know, Chris Thompson, I'm looking at him as the 29th running back off the board in PPR leagues. My concern with him is that he has been on record as saying that I'm not 100%. It's going to be about November will be about a year plus, and that's probably when I would expect to feel 100%. Now, maybe he's just couching things and saying, like, don't expect me to be explosive right out of the gate. But typically you don't hear players give up information like that. I'm sure Gruden wasn't happy that he did, but he was on record as saying, you know, I can't expect to be 100% for a while. So that concerns me.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same. Listen, like, I want no part of this. When he was, what was it, like, less than 2 yards a carry his last actual season in Minnesota, I don't think there's tread left on the tie. I'm staying away from this altogether. I want no part of this. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah. You know, in general, how do you feel about Washington? I found the NFC East to be really one of the funkier ones to try to predict what's going on. I saw a rant a couple of weeks ago from Colin Coward about the Cowboys, and he thinks the Cowboys are going to be the surprise team this year because they finally have a healthy quarterback, and when they've had a quarterback healthy over the course of the last five seasons, they've actually performed really well, 13-3 a couple of years ago. And, you know, Dak was – they had – or a full complement of players. Last year they obviously didn't have Zeke Elliott for a period of time. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what are your feelings really on Washington in general? I'm going to pull up their over-under so to give you a sense of
what you I think their over-under is 7, I want to say. But if you go ahead and check that over on mybookie.ag, I know we got that props builder tool as well, so we could always move the line if we wanted to. I see Washington as one of these kind of like nondescript kind of teams that are sort of stuck in purgatory. You know what I mean, Mike? Like, to be quite honest, and we're seeing this with like tanking in the NBA and almost tanking in Major League Baseball right now. I think we've come to the point over the last, 5 to 10 years, where a lot of teams realize that, okay, you want to be a contender, right? But if you know you're not, it's almost better to be at like rock bottom at that part of the cycle, right? So you could actually break it down and you know, have a shot to hit on some rookies or spend some money in the next couple of years and take another shot at it.
Basically, you don't want to be the Ravens where you're hanging around.
Exactly. And I think Washington is kind of just at that, but even worse than the Ravens, right? I think that they're stuck in this kind of 7-9 purgatory. You know, they were the last couple of years, do they think Kirk Cousins was the guy? That was the saga, right? Now they have Alex Smith, who, listen, for the very first part of last year was an MVP candidate. You know, because he was throwing the ball down the field and stuff. But I think Washington remains in this purgatory. If you ask me, I know you're bringing it up, but I think their season win total is hovering right around 7, right?
It's 7,
and, you know, and I think that's a fair number.
Not an expensive bet either way, by the way. Minus 1.
And I think that's a fair number.
On the over, minus 120 on the under. So not really
there you
expensive.
Go. So almost
similar juice, right? Yeah, I think people are, you know, they're hemming and hawing as to whether or not they think Washington's going to be good or bad. I think it's also dependent upon the rest of that division. Obviously, you have the defending Super Bowl champs in there. You have Dallas, which gets Zeke Elliott back, and they're going to run the ball 600 times. And you have a Giants team, which is, one of the harder ones to figure out. It seems like they've come back together, and the defense could be resembling the defense from a couple of years ago. Not saying it's going to be the exact same, but it could be resembling that. You now have a, as they have termed it, an adult in the room as the head coach.
Right.
Can he help Eli be more successful? You have Odell in camp all year, and you have a dynamic playmaker at running back, which they haven't had in a really long time. Not to mention a couple of additions to the offensive line, which was the weakest unit on the team. So there's a lot going on with the Giants where you could point the arrow way up from their 3-1 season last year.
Yeah, I'm more on that side. Listen, I think most people agree that Philadelphia is the class of the division. I peg them for double-digit wins again and probably winning this division. I personally would lean towards the New York Football Giants as the second-best team in this division, with Washington and Dallas kind of bringing up the rear, albeit they could both be at that 7-win level. I think the Giants, they got eviscerated by injury at the skill positions last year. And what may be more important, they addressed that offensive line, you know, going out and signing Nate Solder in the offseason from New England to play left tackle, spending the second round draft pick on the kid Will Hernandez out of UTEP, who they also think is like, you know, will bring some of that kind of nastiness back to that offensive line. Listen, Saquon will get his, Odell Beckham will get his. Now, they still might not be able to stop a tight end, you know, a defensive offensively at all. But also, when you have a guy like Snacks Harrison back and healthy, that'll certainly help the run defense. The other thing, Blewett, and you know, I know a lot of people don't like to look at the schedule, but I like that the Giants will all of a sudden have a last-place schedule to contend with this year, and maybe, you know, kind of the last ride for Eli Manning. I think there's a universe where Eli gets protected, the skill position players are dynamic, the defense goes back to even becoming like slightly above average, and the Giants are the second-best team. I've heard some people with buzz about the Dallas Cowboys. I just don't know who's going to catch the balls. I don't know, you know, let me ask you this, Blewett. Outside of Zeke Elliott.
On the schedule front, though, that would give them the Niners who are ascending. It would give them the Bears, who some people like, not necessarily me, and the Bucks. I think the Bucks could be one of the biggest messes in the league this year. I know they made some interesting additions to the defensive side of the ball, but still don't like the way things are going. Jameis out 3 games. I feel like that's a coach on the hot seat. If you were plunking down some money on the first coach to go this year, that's the guy
Dirk Cutter
would be first one gone. So sorry to interrupt, but I just want to interject on how the schedule impacted them. They get one tougher one than you might expect in the Niners.
And listen, remember, they also had that drama with Eli Manning and the start streak. And McAdoo, towards the end there, I think was just trying to assert his authority, and it didn't really play well last year. You mentioned kind of having the adult in the room that you talk about. So I can see the kind of bounce back year from the Giants. This coming from a Jets fan in New York, okay? But I think Philly's still the class of that division. And to answer the initial question, I think Washington is a kind of, you know, one of these fairly nondescript kind of teams, a team that you're going to see on Thursday night football, shall we say, you know. But for fantasy, Mike, I really like Jamison Crowder this year. I think Jamison Crowder, especially in PPR formats, there have been a lot of good talk about him forming a relationship with Alex Smith. A lot of people think about, you know, Smith as a check down artist, Crowder kind of working that slot. I don't necessarily, you know, automatically think if A, then B, but I think Crowder is healthy this year, and I think he takes a step forward. I'm really comfortable with Jamison Crowder as my wide receiver 3, especially in PPR formats.
Yeah, right now, according to Fantasy Pros aggregated site, you're going to find him as the 31st wide receiver off the board, so that puts him square in the middle of that wide receiver 3 conversation. As Dane just said, I'm very comfortable with that. In PPR leagues, I'm a little George Kurtz and I. You can hear George Kurtz here on the weekends and at other times on the station. He does Fantasy Sports Today with me and Weekend Fantasy Update, Fantasy Football Frenzy with Corey Parson. But he and I typically are more conservative drafters. And that doesn't necessarily mean that we're not going for any upside guys. But what it does mean for me is that in PPR leagues, I want guys with the ball in their hands. So that's Adam Thielen. That's Golden Tate. That's a guy like Jamison Crowder that I can get later. Right. Because if I can stack up my 3 wide receivers and I can get somewhere in the neighborhood of 270 catches, then I feel like I'm going to be out on top. My yardage totals might be a little bit less upside. Maybe I'm taking the top off of touchdowns with somebody like Golden Tate. But I know that I have a guy consistently that can bring the ball, get first downs, all this other kind of stuff. Reliable guys. Larry Fitzgerald, another one that I've made a living on the last few years. Finally, his ADP is back where it should be. But so that's really my focus, and that's why I like Crowder. I like him more than anybody in the offense. I've heard the Washington coaches say that they feel like they got an upgrade at quarterback, period. Now, they're going to say that, whether it's true or not, but I think there are some real feelings that they feel like they may have even gotten a better professional QB moving on to Smith from Cousins. So there you go on Washington. Let me
ask you one other thing real quick on Washington, Blewett.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, before you.
No, go ahead.
Are you going to go back to the well with Jordan Reed? Are you going to believe Jordan Reed ever?
No. I've been out since like 2016. I really have been. Like an oft-injured player like that, you are much better off strategically betting against chronically injured players. I hope he's healthy. I hope he has a huge productive year. But I'm never going to be in on a guy like that. Maybe one guy on one team. I don't want people to call me out as being a hypocrite. You'll always hedge a little bit. But realistically, I won't have Jordan Reed on any teams. I think he's got a history of concussions. He's got foot injuries beyond that. And when guys are hurt year in, year out, it's unlikely that they're going to come back. Now, I'll show you one way manner in which I'm being hypocritical. Deion Lewis. Now, Deion Lewis did play 16 games last year in for the Pats, and now he's in Tennessee. And you should probably bet against him doing it again. But I like Deion Lewis. I like his value. I like the fact that he's in an offense which will probably be much more dynamic in terms of play-action passing. So I've said before I'm in on the Titans. Deion Lewis is a guy that I have been targeting, and I will have him on at least a couple of teams this year. And he missed 38 of his first 96 possible games. He only played, in 38 of a possible 96 games in those first 6 years of his career. So he missed tons of games until last year. I'm hoping that he stays healthy for a majority of them this year. So we'll move on to a different topic in a second. But first, make sure you get your season ticket to Fantasy Glory now with the 2018 Roto Experts exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. It's not just a draft kit. It's a full season package that takes you from draft day to championship week. And it features in-depth analysis from some of your favorite fantasy sports radio experts. So go to rotoexperts.com, use code WINNER, W-I-N-N-E-R, to get 10% off on the exclusive Edge package and set aside a spot on the mantle for that 2018 championship trophy. So next thing we're going to move on to, I know you talked about it a little bit in the last hour, was the Packers wide receiving core. So Jamon Moore has been struggling with the dropsies. He's one of the three rookies that they drafted, Equanimeous St. Brown, Jamon Moore, and Valdez Scantling, right?
Scantling.
Marquez Valdez Scantling. So
some great names out of these guys, huh?
Yeah, exactly. So they drafted all of them after the fourth round, and it was obviously a effort on the Packers to provide more weapons for Aaron Rodgers. They moved on from Jordy Nelson. I think he wasn't happy about that. Jordy showed a little bit of his age, although, you know, I'll give him a puncher's chance this year to prove people wrong in Oakland. So what I've been trying to figure out, and there was a lot of Randall Cobb buzz about a month ago. Now it's cooled off because his ADP has risen to a certain point, and he is a player that gets banged up a lot. People are obviously in on Davante Adams. He's the number one, and he's got the number one quarterback. So how do you – we talked a little bit about Geronimo Allison yesterday, I believe. We did a quick player prop there, I think, when time was running out. But how do you think this could play out as far as touches are concerned, real quick?
So real quick, the way I look at this, the organization, by making this an investment in the rookie wide receivers, clearly wants to get there over time. So for me, that's a strike against Geronimo Allison. But honestly, the way I look at this is – I love Davante Adams. Even at this tier of top wide receivers, I think Adams is going to prove to be a straight-up target monster a la DeAndre Hopkins. And for me, the biggest impact is I'm comfortable with Davante Adams as maybe as high as wide receiver 5 or 6. And I think that the gap between Adams and the field in Green Bay is so huge that he becomes a guy I'm targeting at the very start of the second round. And I think after that, you know, it becomes, Cobb is there, but I think it's great for Davante Adams, Mike.
Good stuff. We'll talk more about the Packers wide receivers on the other side of the break on FST. It's Mike and Dane with you for the next hour.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your Daily Roto Package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto Millionaire.
Back in on FST, Mike and Dane, thanks for hanging out with us. If you want to hit us up, please do so on Twitter at FNTSY Radio. I'm at Mike Blewett. Dane is at Spittin' Speeds, S-P-E-E-D-Z. And give us a call if you want in the next segment at 844-843-6879. We'll open up those phone lines at 840 and you can ask us some questions. Obviously, a lot of drafts coming up this week, this weekend, in the next week. So if you're trying to get ahead of the game, please reach out. And before we get back to the Packers wide receivers, I should let you know that DailyRoto.com is putting more than $25,000 on the line for its subscribers this NFL season, entering paid contests on FanDuel and bringing you along for the free roll. Have a chance to win big this year alongside Sports Grid CEO Jeremy Stein, one of the only men to have won two separate $1 million prizes. Each week, we'll select lucky subscribers to sweat with us and split 50% of the profits. No profits that week, no worries. Your name will get tossed back into the hat the following week. So head to dailyroto.com/sweat and learn how to get in on the action and your share of $25,000 in action. That's dailyroto.com/sweat. So we were talking about the Packers before the break. You love Adams. I'm in on Adams too. Target is almost a tough word because he's going to be a top 20 pick. You know, he's going to be a guy that you may not have the option of choosing. You know what I mean, Dane? He's going to get scooped up by somebody, or he's going to be left to you. But just to pick the guys around him, Michael Thomas, Keenan Allen right in front of him, A.J. Green and Mike Evans right behind him. I like him firmly over the two right behind him in A.J. Green, Mike Evans, and even throw Tyreek Hill in there, even going down a little bit further. I know I said I like Adam Thielen a lot, but I'm taking Adams for all that touchdown upside with Aaron Rodgers. But do you like him more than Michael Thomas or Keenan Allen?
I like him more than Michael Thomas. I like him more than Michael Thomas. I do. Given the choice, you know, maybe if let's say I'm holding the 10 spot or the 9 or 10 spot, let's say in a draft in the second round, yeah, I would choose Adams over Thomas, and it's because of what we were saying. Listen, this New Orleans Saints offense, don't get me wrong, I love Michael Thomas. We're splitting hairs here, right? In terms of like teams who are going to be your number one wide receiver, right? But for me, I think the Saints last year made a conscious effort to run the ball more, you know, and to take some of the pressure off of Drew Brees. I think that's part of the reason also why, Mike, why this New Orleans Saints defense was good. You know, the offense was running the ball, time of possession, field position, helping out that Saints defense. Don't get me wrong, I love me some Michael Thomas, but given the choice, yes, I would even take Davante Adams over Michael Thomas. I'd take him over A.J. Green. The only people I wouldn't have him above are Keenan Allen and the Big Four. So I have him at 6.
So, you know, and sometimes it's difficult to do some of these projections because if you look back at the Packers offense a year ago, how could you possibly project what they're going to do from last year to this year?
Aaron Rodgers.
Jordy Nelson was down a year. And then when you look back 2 years, Jordy Nelson was Jordy Nelson. And Aaron Rodgers, you just have to keep in perspective what we saw the last time he was healthy. He threw 40 touchdown passes, the most in the league. That offense scored the fourth most points. They had the eighth most yards, nearly 6,000 yards of offense. They ran over 1,000 plays. So when he's there, it's high octane. And, you know, part of one of the things that Dana and I talked about during the break, we're talking about Adams and Cobb and what can Jimmy Graham do. Obviously, he's going to be a better tight end than they've had in a while, even if Jimmy Graham isn't the Jimmy Graham of old. We talked about Geronimo Allison and what are these rookies going to do. The one guy that's getting forgotten about a little bit because he's a hybrid of sorts is Ty Montgomery, and how many catches go to him. So where does he fall in the pecking order? Right now I'm looking at some projections. I think these are via Mike Clay at ESPN. They have Davante Adams, then Cobb, then Graham, then Montgomery, then Allison, and Allison kind of being an afterthought. Now, he's an interesting sleeper because if something happens to Randall Cobb, Geronimo Allison takes that role. They're not going to put Ty Montgomery in that role most likely, but can Ty Montgomery catch? They have him at 40 here. Couldn't he catch 50, 55 passes and compare to guys like Duke Johnson and Theo Riddick that you mentioned?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I think, and to your point, this is the way I'm looking at it, Blewett. You know, this offense is elite. This offense is led by an MVP quarterback who many people believe is the best offensive player in best quarterback in the NFL, in Aaron Rodgers, right? So the way I look at it is this. You know, I think there's two factors here for any player. You talk about Mike Clay's projections or anyone's ranks. Mike, I look at it two ways, right? The first thing you think about is the offense in general. And I always say to me is like, how big is the pie? Right? And then you got to talk about how big is that person's slice of said pie. And the way I think about it, these PPR bats, you know, the Theo Riddicks, the Chris Thompsons, who we talked about earlier, right? The Duke Johnsons of the world, they're all splitting with other guys in their committee. They're all playing this role of this PPR back. So in those kind of roles, I'd rather have the guy that has the slice of the biggest pie, which for me is the Green Bay Packers and Ty Montgomery. All things being equal, I'll take the third down back in Green Bay over the third down back in Washington every day and twice on Sunday. So I do think there's a potential there. Then you also throw in the mix that Aaron Jones is going to be gone for the first two games. We've never really seen Jamal Williams actually carry the load for any more than a month of a season. And Aaron Rodgers wasn't there last year. So Aaron Rodgers has more chemistry with Ty Montgomery than either one of these guys from just being on the roster together. So I think there's potential sleeper value there for Ty Montgomery.
Yeah, and I think Mike McCarthy is comfortable using all three backs. Obviously, he instituted Ty Montgomery as a running back when he wasn't one. And I think he's comfortable sharing the ball. Keep in mind, this is a team that got burned by trying to draft and develop a bell cow back in Eddie Lacy. So I think they're okay using a few different guys and not relying on one guy to tank their entire rushing attack. So let's move on to an even more depressing topic, and that's the Bucs rushing attack. They lost tackle Donovan Smith. It looks like he's gone for a few weeks. You know, there's back-to-back stories, and like, I don't know if he's going to be – he'll be ready for week one, and then the next story is, well, he's out 2 to 4 weeks. I'm not looking at a calendar right now, but I know it's August 22nd or so, and if he's out 4 weeks, he's not going to be ready for the season. So an offensive line that already had issues has a tackle go down for at least the beginning of the season. Ronald Jones currently has more carries than yards in the preseason, so not exactly efficient at this point. Peyton Barber rising up the depth chart could even get the start in week one, but I don't know that I was on board with this rushing attack in the first place. So there's always some relative value in a guy that's going to see some carries. So what do you expect here, and is Ronald Jones a guy that you can count on for the course over the course of the season? And same question for Peyton Barber.
Sure. So I'll take a flyer on Ronald Jones in dynasty leagues, okay? But I think it's going to take some time. You're also hearing that Ronald Jones is struggling in pass protection, Mike, and that is something that, along with ball security, that will keep you off the field. You know, coaches will not be able to handle that, especially because, as you know, this organization, for some reason, unbeknownst to me, is all in with Jameis Winston as their franchise quarterback. So they want to keep him healthy, even though he won't be there the first three games. I'm staying away from this situation, and here's another reason why. I think about the game flow. Okay, I think about the game flow, and I expect, Mike, I expect Tampa to be down by a lot in the second half of games. That's why I like, for example, Chris Godwin as an option as a sleeper this year in Tampa Bay. But I'm going away from this running game because I think they're going to be in no-huddle, two-minute drills in the second half a lot. Look at this team's schedule, Mike. Remember, the first three games without Jameis, okay, they start as a sacrificial lamb in the dome against New Orleans the first week of the season. That's a loss, in my opinion. Then they have a two-game home, right? Then they got a two-game home stretch, the last two games that Winston's going to be out. But get this, the state of Pennsylvania comes calling. The Eagles and then the Steelers in weeks 2 and 3. Then they have a road trip at Chicago, who I think is going to be one of those teams that do well at home this year, at least. I see very easily the Bucs can be 0-4 going into their bye, and it could be unraveling. I think we've talked about this before. Dirk Cutter as the first coach fired, I think that is a very interesting bet. Last time I checked that one, Mike, Dirk Cutter was at, I think it was like plus 1,200 as like the third choice, let's say, to be the first coach fired. The other thing I want to tell you about this.
I'll take that.
Yeah,
value.
I think that's really interesting. Here's the other thing. You know, sometimes you got to get on these things early. Mike, I have the Tampa Bay Bucs. I got them early when their season win total was at 7.5. It's now moved down, I got the Bucs at 7.5, and I went under.
I love that.
You know, it was, and it was -105. I have them at 7.5, -105. I'm taking that one to the bank. I think it unravels for Tampa Bay, so I'm off their running backs because of game flow primarily.
It's down to 6.5 now. The under is at -150, so there's some juice there on the under. Yeah. It's obviously been trending that way, so I would like it a lot more at 7.5. But the Bucks have come in last place in that division five of the last six seasons. I would expect it to be six of seven with the Falcons and the Saints. I have being playoff teams, and the Panthers as another team that can challenge. The NFC is very deep this year, and I think the Panthers are a team that can challenge. I'm not in love with the Panthers, but I do think they can win some games. Look, I think they'll be a team that will be flirting 500 or more.
Yeah.
And, you know, when we're talking about these over-unders, a lot of times, trust me, I'm in an over-under competition with some friends every year. We're splitting hairs, and I'm waiting. You know, I'm down to week 17 trying to get my ninth win out of the Titans last year, which I got, but it was it's a struggle. So I don't think it's going to be a struggle to have the Bucks under 7.5 this year. To your point about the Jameis thing, I think coach and GM, Jason Licht and Jameis, are all tied at the hip. So they can't really move on because you're effectively firing yourself. So they're all in this year. They have to fix it, and they have to fix it quick. Unfortunately, they can't fix anything with Jameis until week four. And as you said, they might be 0-3 right there. That might be the toughest three-game stretch to open the season that I've seen. And then they go on the road to Chicago before an early bye week. It could be a 1-3, 0-4 scenario, and Jameis is just going to have to play lights out for them to be able to do anything. So back to the running backs real quick. Ronald Jones, currently the 25th running back off the board. That's terrible value in my estimation. Peyton Barber, the 47th running back off the board. Look, at some point, you're going to be drafting guys that you're not in love with. You're just looking for some value. And if Peyton Barber knocks out 175 and maybe even 200 touches this year, especially if Jones struggles, then there's value there in him being the 47th running back off the board. You don't have to start him, but you got bye weeks, you get injuries, you need somebody in the flex. Peyton Barber could be a guy that has rising value, even though I don't think this rushing attack will be all that good. So we're all hammering the Bucks under, even still, at 6.5. I do think it's not going to go well this year, even though they did add a few guys. They added Jason Pierre-Paul. They added some other guys. But they haven't been able to cover anybody on the outside of the defense in a long time. They've got Brent Grimes there, Justin Evans, Chris Conte, Vernon Hargreaves in his third season. They obviously have great linebackers in Levante David and Quan Alexander, and they built out a pretty solid defensive line, even though Vita Vea, their first-round draft pick, has been banged up this camp. So I think we all will tell you that we're off the Bucks. Last question, though. Given the fact that you think they'll be trailing a lot, would that give you some reason to put value in Jameis just because he's going to be throwing so much?
Yeah, you know, remember a few years ago when Blake Bortles was actually a decent fantasy quarterback because of all the garbage time, you know, and like how the points,
I nicknamed him the fantasy magician because he's terrible, but he was knocking out 20-point games every week.
So there's some potential for that, right? But I'm gonna look elsewhere when I'm that far down. And the one last thing I'll say on Barber, real quick, Mike, is I hear what you're saying, right? But I still believe over time, kind of the share will go more towards Jones. And when I'm drafting guys down at this level, I think you mentioned like running back, you know, whatever it was, 44, 45, something like that. I'm down at that level, I'm not looking for I'm looking for guys who I think will be better in December than they are in September, if that makes sense, right? Someone who might be an ascending asset for me for the fantasy playoffs. And for me, with Barber, I don't think that's the case. If anything, I think that'll be the case more for Ronald Jones, but I'm not going to pay the price. When I look at that level, though, one name to throw out who would fit this for me is a guy like Deontay Foreman, who I can get at that same level, but I think will be ascending over, maybe not over Lamar Miller, but whose role I think will grow over time, as opposed to Peyton Barber, whose role I think would shrink over time. So if I'm at that level, I would lean towards a guy like Deontay Foreman to hopefully be more healthy and have a greater share down in Houston by the time the fantasy playoffs roll around.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. So when you're drafting Barber, you have to do it with the knowledge that he may be productive for the first 4 to 6 weeks and give way to Ronald Jones. And then don't be afraid to cut a guy loose like that. If you're going into your draft thinking that you're going to draft your 16 players and keep them, then you're
That's great.
I will implore you.
Then play best nuts ball.
And you can play a best ball league where you draft 50 guys and just hang on to them, or draft 25 guys and hang on to them. But the reality is, you're going to be cutting some of these guys anyway. So if you want to use somebody up for a month and cut them loose, Peyton Barber might be that guy. Conversely, Deontay Foreman could be a draft and stash. Ronald Jones at 25, he's in some people's second running back. It could be your third. You're going to have to sit him for a little bit potentially to start this season. So real quick, J.D. McKissic is out 4 to 6 weeks, a little bit more shakeup to the Seahawks rushing attack. So now it seems like firmly it's Carson, it's Penny, and then you got C.J. Procise there. And how do you think this plays out?
Yeah, I mean, I think C.J. Procise does wind up being that PPR back, but I want to see it before I believe it with these guys in Seattle. These guys have all been banged up a little bit, including C.J. Procise. He hasn't been able to stay on the field much. And I know, similar point that I was making with guys like Ronald Jones, guys like Deontay Foreman, I think Rashad Penny is going to be this kind of guy who gets better and better over time. And he is going to be – listen, they didn't draft him in the first round to, you know, kind of be part of like a four-man committee. I think they're going to want more and more out of Rashad Penny over time. I think they view him as a potential three-down back. So I don't know that C.J. Procise is a guy that I'm looking to have any shares of.
Yeah, and he's comparable to Ronald Jones. Ronald Jones going 25th ADP running back, Penny right behind him. I'd much more likely take a shot at Penny than I would at Jones. Yeah. Got questions about both offensive lines, but Penny's the guy that I would want when he's healthy. He's a little bit more of a dynamic back. And this is from somebody that has Ronald Jones as his dynasty running back. I drafted him in a rookie draft just a couple of months back. I need him to be good. I just don't expect it to be this year. So Chris Carson, currently the 39th running back off the board, he gets some good value. But again, this is similar to that Peyton Barber discussion where you might see a little bit of value in September and lose it over time. So we're going to come back. We'll do some NFL player props. We're doing that each and every day. Have a little bit of fun with that and do some more NFL season over-under win totals right after the break.
Are you between the ages of 13 and 22 and love fantasy football? Then GM Genius is for you. GM Genius is the only fantasy football scholarship competition giving students a chance to play fantasy football and pay for your education. GM Genius won FSTA's Rookie of the Year Award in 2017 and has already awarded over $25,000 in scholarships. Go to GMGenius.com today and turn your fantasy football love into a scholarship.
Back on Fantasy Sports Today, Mike and Dane. You know, BetDSI is celebrating 20 years as the industry's biggest and safest betting site. They have great customer service and fast, easy payment of winnings. They play virtually every sport at BetDSI with hundreds of wagering options, including live in-game wagering on all major sporting events where you can make your play at any time during the game. BetDSI runs sign-up and deposit promotions year-round. For a limited time, using promo code FNTSY, BetDSI is offering up to $2,500 on your first deposit if you are willing to adhere to rollover requirements. So use promo code FNTSY and try BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com. Promo code FNTSY. Head on over and start winning today. So player props, that's where we wanted to get to next. Actually, we have a caller, and I believe it's Kenny from Philly. Kenny, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, Kenny.
Hey, good morning, fellas. Don't worry about me. I'll get in where I fit in. That's all. If y'all want to call it after 8:40, I'll call at 8:41.
Yeah, that's all right. That's good. I'm happy to talk to you.
Good to have you on, Kenny.
I can't complain, man. On the you guys are talking about the NFC East. I think that, you know how these division games are. Like, I think all these teams, the Eagles, the Giants, the Redskins, and the Cowboys, are they all going to beat up on each other? The only team... First, no one goes 6-0 in their division. The only team that goes 5-1 and 4-2 every year, of course, is the Patriots. So I think these teams are going to beat up on each other, and maybe 9 wins might actually win the division. So we'll just see what happens with that.
I could see it. It's just, you know, with teams that have made such major changes, like the Giants to their rushing attack and Washington changing quarterbacks, it it puts a lot up in the air. It's a difficult thing to predict. You got to just take your shots.
Absolutely. On to I'm like you and George there, Mike. I'm pretty conservative with my picks. I know that like the first couple of rounds and during drafts, these got to be safe picks that you have confidence in. And like I said in the mock draft I did, the first one I did a couple of days ago, like I told you guys yesterday, I had a second pick. I think I went Zeke, and then a couple of rounds later I went for Deion Lewis. So he was the best one I thought was on the board there. So it's PPR running back. So of course the PPR upside or whatever. So on to the Saints. Dan, you and Scott were touched on the situation this morning. The guy Trey Edmonds is looking pretty good in practice, and Jonathan Williams. So I think that that Coach Payton is good with misdirections and you know set up the short screens and stuff as far as for the first four games. We've been about Mark Ingram. So I'm not. It might be a little bit of uptick in Kamara, but that's probably about it. But you know, like I said, Coach Payton, I'm a genius with working that out or whatever, just slowing down the pass rush and all that. So that's pretty much what I got. All right, fellas, great show, and I'll be listening.
All right, appreciate
Thanks
it.
Thanks a lot,
so,
Kenny.
Yeah, Dane, on that front, Scott Engel has been you can find him on Twitter at Scott E. Roto X. He has been pounding away at Tre'Quan Smith as being a really deep sleeper. You can effectively get the guy for free in drafts. You wouldn't have to spend any draft capital at all, frankly. He wouldn't be drafted in most home leagues now. If you want to take a flyer on him, draft and stash in round 16 or your last round, he'll be there. But it is an interesting call. The only problem is that Ted Ginn has apparently looked really good in camp. You got Michael Thomas there, and obviously you have some pass catchers coming out of the backfield. But Cam Meredith is apparently struggling. So it is interesting, but he's apparently struggled. There's a lot of thought that the Bears, like, he was extremely productive for Bears, and the Bears are like, all right, see ya. So there's thoughts that knee injury is still impacting him.
Yeah, I mean, the thing we were talking about with the Saints, you know, as it related to Kamara, was also this idea that you can't just all of a sudden assume that Kamara is going to soak up this workload. Like when the Ingram suspension came down, people zoomed Kamara up the draft boards. And the point Scott and I continued to make on Roto Experts in the Morning was like, you know, similar to the Chris Thompson, similar to Christian McCaffrey, you don't want to kind of like expose these guys to more hits, to greater risk of injury. They kind of maintain their explosiveness at that kind of 15-touch level. And we're thinking that even without Mark Ingram there, that they would want to keep Kamara at that level. Let me ask you something else, though. He made a point about the NFC East, Kenny and Philly. Thanks for the call. He talked about how the teams like kind of beat up on each other. And, you know, I think that could be the case in the NFC East. It could be the case in the NFC South, in the AFC South as well. I want to ask you something because we think about futures and stuff all the time on my bookie. With teams like that, is it crazy for me to extrapolate even further and say that like the division champion of those divisions are then less likely to have the bye, to have home field advantage, because maybe 9 wins or 10 wins does win that division, whereas, you know, say a team like the Patriots are going to be able to, you know, kind of beat up on their division, or Pittsburgh, let's say, so they are more likely to then have the 1 and 2 seeds and the byes. Do you follow that logic? Is that a fair kind of leap of faith to take?
No, look, if you're mapping it out, I think that's what you would need to do. You'd have to understand. You'd have to go through the teams and understand that maybe 10-6 wins the NFC East, whereas the Rams could run away with the West, and they're going to be the one seed. And I think you have to do it that way. You know, what's interesting for me is that South, as you said, like, I really like the Falcons and I really like the Saints, but there's going to be only so many wins I can give either of them. Plus, the Panthers could be really good too. Then you got Pax and Vikings, and I haven't even mentioned Detroit yet or the Niners. So I think you do have to map it out, and I think these teams could beat up on one another. Usually one team is going to rise to the top. I think you give everybody's looking at the Rams to do it, but I start to get a little edgy when so many people are so in on one team. The Pats are just, they could cruise this year. The Rams aren't going to cruise. Yeah, they're really good and they're talent laden, but they've made a lot of changes. You can't automatically assume. I've been hammering the Bears for making so many changes. I have to at least address that when it comes to the Rams. They made a lot of changes. New wide receiver. They got new defenders in there. They don't have the offensive coordinator from last year. So it is possible that all of those changes at once could create chemistry issues at some point. Doesn't mean that it totally falls apart, but I think they're good enough, and the style that they play will be good enough to win that division because, look, they can play a ball control rushing attack, a ball control passing attack. They got Cooper Kupp. They got Robert Woods. That's not even mentioning Brandon Cooks. And then they play good enough defense, but there's no Aaron Donald, so there's an impact there as well. All these things have to come into play. We just think that of the NFC teams, the Rams are the most likely to make the playoffs.
Yeah,
right?
I like the Rams. I like them to make the playoffs. Their schedule is brutal, though. They, like I mentioned yesterday, they got the 3-game road trip. They play the AFC West, which I think will have, you know, some competitive teams as well. They got that first place schedule, you know, so they got the Minnesotas. They have to play the Saints. They have to play Philadelphia. So I think if they can get through that gauntlet, I like the Rams to go far in the NFC. I also believe, you know, Aaron Donald, I think, will be there come week one. Remember, the sides are, you know, in the same area code or whatever analogy they used. And just when I see Donald, Sue, and Brockers getting that quick plush up the middle, especially with teams like Seattle and their offensive line, let's say, and then Tlaib and Peters as ball-hawking corners on the outside, combined with that McVay offense, I really like the Rams in the NFC.
Yeah, so Fantasy Factor is the only exclusively single-entry DFS site. They have free rolls, registering all the time, and great promotions for free prizes. So keep a lookout for Fantasy Factor's free $1 million Survivor Contest, opening about a week before the NFL kickoff. So we're getting close. Go to FantasyFactor.com. That's FantasyFactor.com. So let's do our player props. We're going to close out a lot of shows in this preseason doing some player props, and we'll go over to the running backs today. We did some wide receiver player props yesterday. You can find all of these listed on mybookie.ag. Go over there, sign up. It's free sign up. You can see all of these types of player props and NFL over-unders and a whole lot of player props. You got player futures, which we'll play around with that a little bit tomorrow as well. But on the running backs, yeah, David Johnson. I'm starting, and the more you were talking about Alvin Kamara, the more I'm thinking, like, I wonder if I should have taken David Johnson in the Scott Fishbowl League, which is a super flex league. I had the fifth pick, and I was going to take Aaron Rodgers, and somebody took him. Michael Salfino of Yahoo Sports took him at 3. So I was left with a running back conundrum. I didn't want Barkley as a rookie. I took the explosive nature of Alvin Kamara, and I left David Johnson on the board. The more and more I think about it, I wonder if it was a mistake. I understand what you guys are saying. I think they will try to keep Kamara in that sweet spot, but I do think it does tick up during that first month while Ingram is out. But that being said, well, do you think I made a mistake, first of all? Would you have taken Johnson instead of Kamara?
I am lower on David Johnson than most.
So am I.
You know, I'm worried about things like, listen, this is not Bruce Arians and Carson Palmer. You know, this is potentially a changing quarterback and a first-year head coach. Now, I know McCoy has been there, has been a solid offensive coordinator in the past. I'm a little bit worried about David Johnson's injury history, things of that nature. But don't get me wrong. I love David Johnson, but I have him definitively as fourth in that top four, and I can understand people taking Kamara and even Saquon Barkley potentially ahead of him. So I'm lower on him than most. So do I think you made a mistake? No, but most of the people in the industry would say you did.
So my tiebreaker is that is also a first downs league, and I just expect the Saints offense to be far more efficient than the Cardinals. So that's why I went with it. So let's do a couple.
And think about that, their schedule too. The NFC West has a lot better run defenses also than the NFC South. So I think that's another factor.
Yes. So we got Cartner Friends coming up here in 2 minutes, which you can listen to right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for listening to us today. David Johnson, total rushing yards, 1,000.5. So if he has 1,000 yards, you lose. 1,001, you win. You want over or under?
I'll take the over on that one. I'll take the over on that one. Remember, this is a guy who was like DJ 2K. It was something like 1,200 and 800. So I'll take over at 1,000.
Yeah, 20 touchdowns that year, too, 2 years ago. Devontae Freeman, total rushing yards, 959.5. So he's going to be trending towards a 1,000-yard season with this one. The juice is even on this one.
I'm on the under on him. I am very worried about the health of Devontae Freeman. If he gets his bell rung again, it could be an extended absence. And they believe in Tevin Coleman. I don't think – I'm worried that Devontae Freeman doesn't finish the season this year. And I hate to make a play on that because of injury, but give me the under on Freeman.
Last one, JHI, total rushing yards, 975.5. The juice is on the under at minus 130. I'm hammering the under on this one.
Yeah, the injury concerns and the fact that they have a committee. Don't forget about Darren Sproles, Corey Clement, and others. So many mouths to feed in Philly. So I don't think anybody will get the 1,000-yard level.
They're not going to use him like that. They're right. going to save him as much
and
as
he's got that knee as well. They're going to try and preserve him. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a reason that Miami moved on from him and that the Philly wouldn't use him in that manner. I don't think he gets quite there. And that's it. So we'll do more player props tomorrow. It's Mike and Dane. We're here every morning from 8 to 9. And it's Carton and Friends next. Thanks for listening on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We'll talk to you tomorrow.